You're listening to Retail Gets Real, brought to you by the National Retail Federation. Join us for a look inside the world's largest and most interesting industry. And now your host, Bill Thorne.
Welcome to another episode of Retail Gets Real, where we talk about the industry that impacts everyone, everywhere, every day. I'm Bill Thorne with the National Retail Federation, and I'm joined today by my co-host, Jennifer Overstreet. Hello, Jen.
Hey, Bill. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm awesome.
You excited about today's episode?
I very much am.
I am as well. We have Stephanie Botello. She's the founder and CEO of Fitzroy's. She's coming to us via Skype. Hello, Stephanie.
Hi, guys. Thanks so much for having me.
So, Stephanie, tell us, Fitzroy, what is it?
So Fitzroy is an online wholesale marketplace. Our mission is to support different, and we do that by supporting independent on each side of our marketplace. So if you look at who's selling, we essentially work with brands who are new, emerging, and independent. We got our start in toys. So we started with toy brands who essentially were, you know, designers or mompreneurs looking to get a product that, you know, maybe they got launched on a Kickstarter or, you know, they self-funded from that kind of initial stage of that first run into wholesale. And then on the buying side of the platform, we work with retailers who are pretty much everyone that's looking to stock something that is unique and different. Again, since we started in toys, you know, we initially started with the traditional one-door mom-and-pop toy store, like local community neighborhood store. And we've grown from there to, you know, working with chains, working with larger retailers. But what kind of brings all of our retailers together is we really focus on specialty brick and mortar. So everyone has a physical presence in terms of their stores versus being online only.
But you yourself are a sort of like a technology company. If I'm a retailer, how am I using your services?
Yeah. You're 100% right. So we're a retail technology company. We essentially consider ourselves in a way almost supply chain technology. For us, because we're a marketplace, we've designed the experience for a retailer to look and feel exactly the way a consumer would shop for products for themselves. So the way that you and I hop on Amazon or hop on Etsy to go shopping for something for ourselves or a loved one, essentially this is the same kind of experience, but for the professional buyer. So we screen all of our retailers. So they have a chat with someone on our merchandising editor team. They get a login, they sign into Fitzroy, and they're able to browse our, you know, close to 100 brands that we work with, add items to their cart and checkouts. Then that way their wholesale purchasing is just as easy, just as fun and modern as consumer purchasing is today.
Well, aren't you a little concerned because retail's dying? I mean, how are you going to survive that?
I've heard. I've heard the rumors.
I'm very worried for you.
Yeah, I've heard the rumors. I mean, look, there's some definitely high-profile closures that are happening, I think especially amongst big box retailers. I'm personally not worried. I think that retail is going through a transition, and that's almost the best time to join something. So when it comes to the offline and physical experience, I think one of the interesting things that you're seeing is despite those larger closures, you're seeing a couple things. So one, you know, this year was one of the first years where you see more independent stores opening. And those stores, I think, are just focused on very different things than these traditional retailers that are kind of facing headwinds and having to make some tough decisions. You know, they're more focused on experience. They're more focused on community. They're more focused on the types of products that they're bringing in. They're more focused on that getting that consumer to actually have a reason to be physically in store. And then I think the other thing that I've always found really interesting is, you know, we see a lot of direct-to-consumer brands, you know, maybe grow quickly online, but when they truly decide to scale, they still turn to wholesale and the offline experience, you know, whether that is opening their own stores or, you know, getting their products into more traditional retail.
So how you've got these brands, do you find the brands or do the brands find you?
So it started with me finding the brands, me personally. So Fitzroy actually started as a business school project when I was at Harvard. So the very first version of Fitzroy, I built and coded myself. And from there, essentially when it started, it was actually consumer facing. So I very much followed the idea of solving my own pain point. I got into a point where I was shopping for a lot of kids in my life, even though I didn't have kids of my own. And it was tough to find them something that was unique and different. And that's usually how I like to purchase for myself, for my friends. And it was largely because I was buying in a category I wasn't familiar with. And so I built a recommendation engine that was consumer facing, started working with some pretty unique brands that way. And when I graduated, I knew I wanted to turn this idea into a business. Sat down with those first five brands that I was working with and said, like, hey, what do you think about what I'm doing? And unanimously heard from them that they wanted me to focus on wholesale. So spent a little time doing the diligence, you know, figuring out wholesale as a space, and then raised the first round for Fitzroy as an online wholesale platform. So from there, the way that we find brands are a whole bunch of ways. So, you know, we still look for them ourselves. You know, we spend a lot of time on social media and kind of understanding the social media graph of a brand and how they're growing online. We spend time at traditional trade shows. So actually physically stopping into booths, seeing product, you know, getting a better idea for not just what they're selling, but, you know, who the person is that's selling it. And then we rely on our community, right? Essentially our users. So our users are sending in recommendations all the time. And that helps us prioritize, you know, who we want to work with on the brand side.
So you mentioned the word different a couple of times, and you said, you know, it's kind of your mission to support this sort of different, unique experience. What does that really mean to you guys, and how does it come to life?
Yeah, I think for us, in terms of different, it's, I think one of the things about technology that is a little bit of a catch-22 is, you know, in a lot of ways, technology has democratized a lot of things. But ironically, it's actually really made it harder for the smaller voices to rise above the noise. So if you're someone who is just getting started, you know, you don't have the resources of a Mattel or a Hasbro or whoever, you know, is the 800-pound gorilla in your industry, you know, you don't have an entire sales team, you don't have an R&D team, you don't have a user experience team, you don't have all of these things. And so for us, when we think about different, we think about independent, and we think about essentially, you know, the person who is not necessarily mainstream yet, but is looking to create a brand, a product, an experience, you know, if it's a retailer that stands out and that has a point of view.
So tell me a success story. I mean, there's got to be. If you're providing information or access to these unique products by these folks that are, you know, have a dream and you find them, there's got to be some success stories there.
Yeah, there definitely are. You know, I think I always look fondly on one of the first brands that I brought on board was a company called Yellow Scope. They have a line of science kits. It's run by two moms out of Oregon, and they really saw a need for a kit that was focused on women, young girls, ages 8 to 11, which is essentially the age where you see a drop-off in terms of women wanting to go into science, and a kit that wasn't necessarily, you know, traditional pink and girly and fluffy, but gender neutral. That's why they're yellow. And, you know, really tough content. Like, both of these women are science PhDs, right? And so they started kind of developing these kits themselves. They tested them in the Oregon school system, the Portland school system that their kids were in. And then they launched a Kickstarter for them. And so we've been really proud of being able to scale their specialty from, you know, essentially first starting out and being in a couple doors in Portland to really being a nationwide presence. Same thing, you know, there are a couple brands who have started with Fitzroy and really made the decision to concentrate their wholesale purchasing through Fitzroy. And so, like, Luke's Toy Factory is one of them. That's another story of an East Coast brand who, you know, really saw a need for essentially a half construction, half puzzle toy. They're basically these fun trucks, so like fire trucks, dump trucks, cargo trucks, 100%, you know, made in the USA, recycled material, but they also come apart as a puzzle. So you have the fun of, like, playing with them, you know, not just as a car, but also as a puzzle. And so they're someone who, you know, has really kind of grown with the platform, and now we're actually their exclusive, you know, wholesale portal.
It's like you're a Shark Tank.
Yeah.
It is. We work with a fair number of brands that have been on Shark Tank as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's been really fun for us to to see essentially a brand start out with us and almost kind of see them grow across the country, right? It's like you'll see a couple stores pick them up in one state, and then all of a sudden it's like you can kind of see their presence and their excitement grow. Is, you know, maybe they start on the West Coast and then you see someone in Louisiana buy them, and then you see someone in Kansas buy them, and you see someone in New York buy them. So it's fun to see that. And I think from our perspective, because we are a very data-driven company, it's also been interesting to see and have a good idea of, you know, where trends are heading, just because we do kind of have this high level view of what products are becoming popular where.
So what products are becoming popular where? What trends are you seeing?
You know, I think the important
thing. That was a nice tee up, Stephanie. Right. Very, very, very well done.
Here to help, guys. Here to help.
I'd like to take this conversation this direction.
Yeah, hey, exactly. I love toys. I used to work in an independent toy store, so this is right up my alley.
That is something I didn't know about you. That's so funny.
It's my first retail job. I was in high school. I worked at a toy store called Back to Oz in Wichita, Kansas. Mm. And it was a great educational toy store.
Does everything in Kansas have some connection to Oz?
I don't know. You know, it's like a love-hate relationship with The Wizard of Oz. I mean, it's a great book and movie, but, you know, the references do get old. But
My job was in toys, too. I actually had a finger puppet company in fourth grade where I would go to my local craft store. I would buy felt and glitter glue with my allowance, make these finger puppets, and sell them to the other kids in school. So we both have our roots in toys.
Yay, that's awesome.
All right, back to the original question. Yeah. Sorry.
Back to the question.
So, toys. What's happening with toys?
So there's a new brand we just onboarded that we're super excited about called Animoodles. They're an interesting take on plush. I would almost call them an action plush. They are the largest toy-funded Kickstarter ever. So they raised over $100,000 on Kickstarter. And it's essentially these plush animals that come apart. They have magnetic parts. And it's super cool to see. And I think that it's actually a reflection of a larger trend that we're seeing, which is you're really seeing a lot of these new brands come out that are thinking about what may seem like a traditional category and putting a different spin on it. So, you know, instead of just a stuffed animal, it's like you have a fully open-ended play product where a child can mix and match in a collection, create animals of their own, create storylines around it. And so you're seeing that in a lot of different categories. And I would say for us, not just in toys where we started, but now that we work with other categories in children's as well, we can actually see that really across the board.
Did you start out to work with retail? I mean, you were a self-described technologist. Was there something else that you were looking at before you kind of landed at retail?
So in terms of my personal background, I actually come from finance. So, you know, started my career in investment banking. From there, you know, worked in a late stage venture firm and had an investing position where I looked at retail. You know, I was in e-commerce and I spent a lot of time looking at investments, both, I would say, in terms of the unsexy back-end plumbing that essentially drives retail and drives e-commerce, and then also was able to spend a lot of time looking at some pretty cool, you know, consumer-facing brands and experiences. And from there, I knew that there was a need, especially in children's. I hadn't seen as much innovation in children's categories. And so I don't know if I necessarily set out to land in retail, or if it was more that retail sort of sucked me in. It was like the more time I spent in it, the more I really fell in love with it as an industry.
It sounds like you kind of have this great job. You're at the intersection of innovation and data and technology, but also you get to work with all these really creative makers and doers. What is that like? What have you learned from where you sit?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things that we've learned is, and part of what really drives us as a company, is we want to make sure that the brands that we work with, that we're helping them have more time do what they love to do. And, you know, whether it is someone who, you know, like Animoodles, like just completed a successful Kickstarter, or it's someone on a much larger scale, is already in 15,000 doors, you know, is looking kind of to us as that extra extra kind of, you know, cherry on top when it comes to retail and specialty and wholesale. What's really interesting is that across the board, everyone loves to create. And so that's the piece that they're most excited to do. And so that's why from a selling standpoint and a scaling standpoint, that's why we really focus on where we are. And so that's because we want to essentially take as much friction out of it as possible so they have as much time in their day to kind of keep coming up with these awesome, crazy ideas for new products.
Entrepreneurs are a breed apart. They really, but they're so, I've had the opportunity to be at meetings or at conferences, and you just get, there's so much energy there. There's so much passion there. And it must be really fulfilling to work with that, you know, cohort of people.
Yeah, absolutely, right? Because you're sitting, you know, whether you're on a call or like you're meeting them in person, you're talking to someone who is dreaming about what could be. And I think entrepreneurs in so many ways, they're like the eternal optimist, right? Because they're imagining what they want, to see, the way that they want the world to work, as opposed to, you know, the way that it might today. And they're the crazy ones who also think, not only is this something that I want to see in the world, but I'm going to be the one to make sure that it's there, and I'm going to create it. And so it is very special. And I think for us, like one of the things, especially on the brand side of the platform, that we take a lot of pride and a lot of care in is essentially like protecting those brands in a way, because those brands in a lot of ways for those entrepreneurs are just extensions of themselves,
right?
So it's like, we want to make sure that as they think about kind of navigating that wholesale landscape, that we can really be a partner with them instead of them kind of being thrown into the deep end on their own.
Well, I'm getting the high sign from our producer, I'm afraid. And I could think we could go with this conversation a heck of a lot longer, but Stephanie, if people wanted to learn more about Fitzroy, where would they go?
Yeah, so they would go to www.fitzroytoys.com. So FITZROY toys.com. And then they can sign up that way.
That's perfect. So there's a part of the program you probably are not aware of, and we call it rapid fire. What we're going to do.
Sounds scary.
Don't worry. You'll be fine. We're going to just give you a few questions, and one at a time, and you just tell us the first thing that comes into your mind. Are you ready?
Yes. I feel like I'm going to get a score at the end of this.
We do not score, I promise, nor do we judge. All right. Start us off, Jen.
Stephanie, favorite childhood toy?
Oh, man. There were so many. So hard to pick a favorite. I would say it was actually Science Kits.
Stephanie, what's your ideal vacation?
Beach. Anywhere with sun, sun and water and sand that I can disconnect and actually not have internet access.
I'll look for you there.
What's something on your desk that you can't live without?
So we have, and this was actually a gift from a designer that worked with us, but we have a very fun deck of cards that essentially kind of drive design thinking and innovation thinking and group brainstorming. And so it's special both because of, you know, how I received it, but also because I think it just reminds me of my team and the idea of us kind of all getting around a table and, you know, like working through challenges together.
I think I need that.
Yeah, for sure. Must see TV. What is it?
Ooh, so much. So love right now, Legion on FX. Like, I think that it's in their second season. And, you know, obviously love them because I'm in toys. It's an extension of a comic book character. But I think there are very few shows on TV right now that have such a crisp, well-shaped world where everything is so stylized and so well thought out.
Yep. Stephanie Botello, founder and CEO of Fitzroy. Thank you so much for joining us today on Retail Gets Real.
Thank you for having me. This was such a pleasure.
And Jen, thank you for co-hosting today.
Thank you, Bill. This was lots of fun.
It was a lot of fun. So, and to you listeners, we thank you for joining another episode of Retail Gets Real. We're going to post more information about the topics we discussed today on our website, retailgetsreal.com, where you can also find links to other episodes. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to Retail Gets Real, brought to you by NRF. For more information about the National Retail Federation, visit us online at nrf.com.